Our Bible reading is in Acts chapter 13, and we're commencing at verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet, and afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher on the airwaves to bring you the message of the gospel today again and calling all Canadians back to the Bible. The book of Revelation begins with strong reasons to be a Bible reader. It states in Revelation 1 verse 3, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Note that the Lord Jesus is speaking. To grasp that fact, let us read the first two verses. Revelation 1 verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, unto his servant John. Revelation 1:2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Note three things from these opening verses of this most thrilling book in all the Bible, the book of Revelation, the book that closes the canon of Scripture, the Bible. Number one, John bore record of the Word of God. John wrote the things that were given to him. He bare record in writing. The Bible is the written Word of God. The emphasis is on the writing. This is Scripture, God's Word given to man and written down for our learning. The record given to John is to be read and studied. For that, there is the promise of blessing. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. When we talk about Bible Christianity, we are talking about total commitment to the Word of God. We need to see Canada return to the Bible to become a Bible-reading nation. There is no point in calling Canada to a Christian country if the Bible is not read and adhered to. There is no point in calling your church a Christian church if the Bible is looked upon as any other book of literature or as a novel. I don't like to see the Bible published with fancy, colorful covers to make them appear as any other book. No, the Word of God deserves to be called what it is, the Holy Bible. Let that be stamped on the cover. Let the Bible be given its proper authority. So, preachers should give place to the reading of the Bible in church services, and there should be a definite emphasis in full confidence that it is the written, inspired, and inerrant Word of God to which we owe our full allegiance. People should not go to church to hear the opinions of men, but to hear the Bible being read, explained, and expounded. The preacher is the messenger, not the originator of the message. The preacher is under authority to the Lord's word that is written. The more the preacher digs out the meaning of the Bible, and the more he sets it before the people with clarity, so that they too grasp the meaning of the Bible, the more he is faithful to his divine calling. So I continue to ask you to go to your minister, pastor, or elder, and ask them if they adhere to the book in all things. The very question will show your determination to follow the book. It should awaken a realization that this is required of preachers. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." The work of the gospel minister is to preach the word. That means to expound the Bible, for it is the very word of God. Every book of it, every chapter of it, and every verse of it, for every word of it, is God-breathed. When it becomes your conviction that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, then you will be loyal to it. You will sit down to read it, study it, and prepare to preach it. Then you will stand up and proclaim it as the Word of God and not as the Word of man. That is the conviction that leads to power and reviving of hearts. Therefore, I call all Canadians back to the Bible. Will you reach for your copy today and become a Bible reader and a Bible student? I trust you will. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of our program today, and I hope that you will stay tuned for the full message on Paul's kind of preaching. I wonder what kind of preaching you listen to. Let your heart seek after that faithful, that earnest preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ that satisfies the soul. Stay with us as we move to our pulpit ministry to Let the Bible Speak.
Him, him, and you'll see how Paul kept the focus on the Savior and brought a sense of the guilt of these people that it was because they condemned the Lord Jesus. Now, keeping the focus on the Lord, in verses 30 through 37, Paul delivers this message with a focus on Christ's resurrection. He preaches his person, his death, and now he moves in verse 30 to the resurrection. But God raised him from the dead. And in New Testament preaching, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is a big emphasis and receives a very large focus. and the great miracle of the resurrection substantiates the gospel. And that is just the way it is. It has to be that way, because without a risen Savior, where is our message? Where is the hope? Where is the power? And so Paul spent considerable time in these verses preaching the doctrine of the resurrection. In verse 31, "And he has seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people." And so again, he is declaring that this resurrection is borne witness to, testified of by these people who are his witnesses. "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again." What emphasis on the resurrection? Now, all of this really teaches us as New Testament preachers, as evangelists and ministers today, that our preaching must be focused on the Savior. We are called to preach Jesus, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Now, I know that there are 1,000 topics for the minister or the pastor to cover, and some of those things are required in their place. And we all want a balanced ministry where we have warnings against certain lifestyles, issues that are in the country, errors that are developing, and then there are the issues of family, husbands, wives, boys and girls, teenage years, dating, marriage. All of these things are the gambit of what needs to be preached in the Christian church. But our focus, our emphasis must be upon the person of the Lord Jesus. And it would be terrible for someone to come into the church for even one whole Sunday and not hear the message of what the Lord Jesus has done for sinners. That's the focus that we desperately need in the Christian church today. Now, we just need to tell the story of the Savior's love over and over and over again. And when you've been preaching a number of years, you realize that becomes a challenge. In a sense, it even becomes a temptation, because as well, I've preached on that text. I've preached on that aspect of Jesus' life. I don't need to cover it again. But oh yes, we do, because there are boys and girls growing up that need to hear that. There are new hearers that need to hear that. And there are Christians that are a long time on the road, and they may have not considered that point for a long while. And we all need a refresher when it comes to the person, the life, the work of the Lord Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why we take great delight in what we call the Reformed faith, the Calvinistic, the Westminster Confession of Faith perspective on presenting the gospel and the doctrines of Christianity, because it greatly focuses on the Lord Jesus. In this manner of doctrine, Christ is our prophet, he is our priest, he is our king, he is our mediator, and we are called to preach the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus on earth in his humiliation, and now his mediatorial work in his exaltation in glory. And the system of doctrine keeps our focus upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And in any gospel church, no man can ever hear too much of the fullness that is in our Lord Jesus. When I meet people, or people come to me and say, "Oh boy, I've heard all of that before," I begin to worry that the root of the matter may not even be in their hearts at all. if they become weary of hearing of the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. Now, the closing out of this sermon of the apostle was strong in application. His sermon had a personal application. Now, the application is the purpose of the sermon. It is truth applied to the heart and to the life of the hearer, and that is the work of preaching. Preaching is much more than just giving out information. It is much more than just a history lesson or a geography lesson. While I repeat myself by saying that was the basis upon which Paul preached, very wisely, very necessarily, to people who are hearing the gospel for the first time, because the gospel needs context, but the preacher goes much further. The preacher comes now, what has that got to do with me and you? What is my responsibility in light of these great truths? Now, I want to give you 3 points of application by the Apostle Paul in this message that he preached at Antioch, Pisidia. Let's look at verse 38. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore. Now, there's application. When you see the word therefore, you know that the preacher is getting to application. This is what you must now do. Men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And of course, this forgiveness of sins is the quest of every honest heart. Men need to know that they have had their sins forgiven and that they are right with God. And this is the question of the ages. How can a sinner be right in the sight of a holy God? And here is Paul preaching through Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And you'll note there in verse 39 that he got down to the doctrine of justification by faith. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. Now, many hot and blessed sermons have been preached on that text. There is the requirement of faith, and through faith is the pardon, the forgiveness of all sins. This is the gospel, and this is what it all comes to. If you understand that Jesus died on the cross, God raised him again from the dead, he is given now a name that is above every name, and through that name is the preaching of pardon, sins forgiven by the victory of Calvary through this man. And then on down to verse 40, you will see there is the word of warning. Beware therefore. Oh, you'll notice its application, very strong application. Beware therefore. Here is now the preacher laying it on. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. Oh, to despise the gospel, that's a terrible thing. The gospel is not take it or leave it. The gospel is not something that you can have or you can live without and it makes no difference. No, this is life-changing. This is either heaven or hell. This is either eternal life or eternal condemnation. And here the application, the warning is given by the preacher. And warning is a very big component of true biblical preaching. We can't just preach all the nice things and not warn men about the danger of their soul being destroyed. An application requires facing the hearer with the issues at stake. And of course, it is the burden of the preacher for the man or the soul in danger. Just as if you realize that someone was in a house where there's a fire. There's an urgency. There's a call. There's a warning. Get out, or you will perish. And just as you would seek to head off an accident or a crime, then you've got to give the word of warning to those that come to hear the gospel. Now, in seminaries today, there is a whole science to this work of applicatory preaching. But warning, not so much. And yet we see in the Apostle Paul's delivery and in his application, he went through the historical part, the geographical part, the man Christ Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and now the need for forgiveness of sins, and then the warning to those who would despise the preaching of the gospel. And so, you want to find a church where there is the word of warning. There you will find a faithful ministry. There you will find a church where there are elders, pastors, where there are preachers with that word of warning to the lost, or to those who are moving into error or false doctrine. There is that word of warning, and that is a mark of faithful preaching. A gray-haired old lady, long a member of her community and church, shook hands with the minister after the service one Sunday morning, and she said, "That was a wonderful sermon," she told him. "Just wonderful. Everything you said applies to someone I know." Now, that just proves the point that people generally do not apply things to themselves. They will leave it hanging dry, and the preacher that leaves it hanging, people will not take it to heart. And it takes strong application to make the sermon effective to the heart. An English preacher of the last generation used to say that he cared very little what he said the first half hour, but he cared a very great deal what he said in the last 15 minutes. I remember reading many years ago an address published to students by Henry Ward Beecher, and I'm quoting this preacher now, in which he gave a very striking account of a sermon by Jonathan Edwards. Beecher says that in the elaborated doctrinal part of Jonathan Edwards' sermon, the great preacher was only getting his guns into position, but that in his applications, he opened fire on the enemy. There are too many of us, I am afraid, who take so much time getting our guns into position that we have to finish without firing a shot. We say that we leave the truth to do its own work. We trust to the hearts and consciences of our hearers to apply it. Depend upon it, gentlemen. This is a great and fatal mistake. We need to rub it in. We need to preach the whole counsel of God, every truth, every word of it. But we need to apply it and preach it in a warning tone to call men and women to their responsibility in the light of the gospel. I pray tonight that you will find this ministry and that I will always have that word of warning, that applicatory tone to the great, wonderful truths of the gospel. Let us pray for that. Would you pray for the faithful preaching of God's word in this congregation? And especially as we come back together, Lord willing, in the week to come, that we will be blessed with the Lord's help to preach the whole counsel of God and to do it in a New Testament practical way that will be blessed of God, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for that right now and ask you to join with me in prayer as we seek the Lord. Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name to thy throne, and we thank thee for this time in your word, and we praise thee, O God, for this model that we have in this book of Acts and the preaching of Paul the Apostle. O Lord, teach us how to handle your word. Give us power in your word. O Lord, very often our message may be accurate and sound, but lacking the punch that is required to be faithful New Testament gospel preaching. And so I pray that thou wilt come by thy Spirit and fit us for the task and use us in your kingdom work. And Lord, if there be a soul tonight out of Christ without a Savior, I pray thee to grant them faith that they may know the joy of sins forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. And now bless us, O Lord, as we close our meeting. May your presence be with your people through this week to come. Watch over them, bless them, and keep them. And praise God, we look forward to gathering again here in this house on Wednesday and next Sunday in your presence. We ask your blessing upon us, and may the grace of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon your blood-bought people now and evermore. Amen.
Application to the Bible. That's when the preacher looks down from the pulpit, stares you in the eye, and says, "You, it's for you." It's like Nathan standing before David and saying, "Thou art the man." It is like the Apostle Paul as he takes out the heretic and names him and calls men to do something about their sinful ways. It's application that gets preachers into trouble, because people know that you're getting at them, and they know that you are seeking them to put their ways right, to repent and turn away from their sinful ways. And so the preacher that wants a happy time will avoid application. But the preacher that seeks to be faithful to God will realize that he is not only called to quote the Bible, but to apply its message to the human heart in all its depravity and disobedience, calling men to faith in Christ and repentance toward God. That's the mark of the faithful preacher. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.